We've come to the moment in our worship service this morning where all of our thoughts go to the cross of Jesus Christ. What do you think about when you think about the cross? Whether while partaking of the Lord's Supper or whether while you're out in your day-to-day lives and you think about it, what comes to your mind? Well, what I would like to do for just a few moments this morning is I would like to talk to you about some things that the Bible has to say that when I look to the cross, I should see. The first thing that I want you to appreciate is that when I look to the cross, one of the things that I should see is conviction and guilt. Crucifixion was a sentence based upon a conviction of guilt. The cross is the ultimate symbol of conviction. And when I see the cross of Christ, I see one who has been convicted, one who has been declared guilty. And so when I look at the cross, I can't help but see guilt and conviction. Now, we live in a society today where we don't wish to feel guilty. Nobody wants to be guilty. Sometimes we don't want to hear any kind of preaching that makes us feel guilty. A lot of what you hear today is feel-good sermons. We want people to come in, we want them to feel good about themselves and leave and just be motivated. Well, again, I want you to appreciate that when I look at the cross, I cannot help but see guilt. Jesus was on the cross not because of a crime that he had done, not something that he should have been convicted of. It was because I put him there. You put him there. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And then in verse 10, it says, "None is righteous. No, not one." Because when I look at the cross, ladies and gentlemen, again, I cannot help but see the conviction. But because of the guilt of a crime. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 9, that we are all under sin. You know, some people say, you know, I don't like sermons that step on my toes. I don't want to go to worship service and have my toes stepped on. All I can say is, Lord, hasten the day that people walk into the Lord's church and have their toes stepped on. Because I got to tell you, the cross of Jesus Christ, when I look upon it, it's not supposed to give me a warm and fuzzy feeling. It tells me the price of my crime, and it shows me conviction and guilt. And when I look at the cross, I can't help but think of conviction and guilt. But I also can't help but see execution and death. There's no greater place that I can see where people have taken the sacrifice of Jesus. We wear it today as jewelry. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with if you have a necklace with a cross or earrings or anything, bracelet. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that at all. But can you imagine going into the future and seeing someone wearing an electric chair around their neck, or a firing squad, or a lethal injection? What would you think about that? When I look to the cross, I've got to see that it is an instrument of execution. Someone was going to die. Matthew chapter 27, verse 31, "And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him." Today, it repels vampires, doesn't it? It decorates our graves. But it ought to be, to you and to I, as we look upon it, a symbol of execution and death. Crucifixion was a form of execution reserved only for the dregs of society. It was for the scum of the earth. It was for the lowest of the low, the lowest class in all society. They were the ones that were nailed to the cross. But we see where our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. If you were a Roman citizen, you could not die by crucifixion. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Spirit of God never wanted us to forget the fact that when I look to the cross, I remind myself that it was a place of execution. It is an instrument of execution. And so the next time I look to the cross, I need to see execution and death. I also want you to see a broken body and shed blood. Have you noticed how today folks are all concerned about how humane an execution is? We used to hang people not that long ago. Public hangings. We used to have firing squads. And it showed people what would happen if you committed a serious crime. You see, nobody wants to talk about the crime that they committed. Nobody wants to talk about that anymore. They're more concerned about how the person is being executed than they are the people that they killed. No matter how many people they killed. But when I look upon the cross, I want you to see a broken body and I want you to see shed blood. Because the cross was meant to humiliate. The cross was meant to torment. It was meant to torture. It was meant for suffering. And it was meant for blood to be shed. Not only just simply hanging on the cross, but the preparation for hanging upon the tree. You read in Mark chapter 15, verses 15 through 20. All the things that they did to the Lord before even hanging him on the cross. Beating him. Crown of thorns on his head. Spitting on him. When I look to the cross, I need to see blood. I need to see a body that is pushed beyond the breaking point of life. I need to see somebody who had been beaten to the point that he was disfigured. Someone who cannot even bear the weight of his own cross. You know, it's not a beautiful picture. It's not something that we look at and we gaze at and we just marvel at its art. It's a gruesome scene. You know, you see paintings of our Savior and his forehead and his hands and his feet, and there's just a little trickle of blood, almost like you can just take a Band-Aid and put it on there. And people think, oh, the sacrifice of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, they planted a crown of thorns around his head. And not only that, they took a big stick and they smacked it against his head. And then they hit him with a cat of nine tails. Which, let's be honest, it ripped the skin from his body. They called it the half death because that is exactly what they did. They beat you half to death. Isaiah tells us that he was marred beyond being able to be recognized. And I want you to see there upon the cross that that's where his body was broken and that's where blood was shed. John chapter 19, verse 34, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear and at once there came out blood and water. It was that shed blood that paid for my sins and your sins. Luke chapter 22, verse 19, this is my body which is given for you. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, for this is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Where was that blood shed? It was shed on the cross. And so I need to see a broken body and I need to see shed blood. But I also need to see suffering. In 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 21, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might also follow in his steps. And in chapter 3 and verse 18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." Isaiah 53 verse 10, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for sin." You see, it wasn't just simply his life that was offered. That wasn't good enough. It wasn't just good enough for his life to be offered. Jesus couldn't simply take a medication, sleeping pills, and just fall asleep and pass away and be done with it. That is not what I see when I see the death upon the cross. When I look to the cross, I want you to understand that there was suffering. And the Holy Spirit, through his Bible writers, constantly reminds us of the fact that there was the suffering of Jesus Christ. They did not put a crown of thorns on his head and spit on him and beat him and scourge him for his comfort. It was meant to cause more pain. And it was meant to make that pain unbearable. And I look to the cross too lightly when I look at the cross and that figure, and I see it every day, and I don't remind myself of the suffering that Jesus went through. But then I also see obedience. People look to the cross and they want to stop there as if nothing else is learned. I want you to see this. When I look to the cross, I see the fulfillment of the expectation of the obedience to God. Because even to the point of going to the cross, Jesus said, "I will be obedient to my God." In the book of John, chapter 18, verse 11, Jesus had been praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and three different times he said, "Father, let this cup pass from me." And when Peter had taken out his sword in order for the Lord to not be taken to the cross, Jesus said, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So again, when I look to the cross, I also see obedience. And I see the ultimate example of you and I in regards to our obedience in our daily life. But then I also want you to see reconciliation and peace. Reconciliation and peace. In Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." How did he do that? Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, "that he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross." When I look to the cross, I don't see art. I don't see a prop utilized in movies to repel vampires. I see reconciliation and I see peace. Because it was by the cross that Jesus Christ hung and brought reconciliation to you and to your God. You have separated yourself from God. I separate myself from God when I sin. And it took the cross of Jesus Christ to bring that peace back that you and I can have as we are here today. And so I can lay my head down on my pillow at night and I can say, you know, whatever happens, if I die in my sleep, so be it, because I'm at peace because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And then we need to see a human sacrifice. We don't like to think about that. Nothing can be more repulsive than shows that depict human sacrifices. And I'll tell you why, and that's because there's nothing more repulsive to me than seeing animal sacrifices. Have you ever seen people do that? It's a horrific scene. It's bloody. They're suffering. They're crying. If you're like me, you turn away. You don't want to see it. You change the channel. because it's simply something you don't want to see. But ladies and gentlemen, when you and I look to the cross, we need to see a human sacrifice. Because that's exactly what it was. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, "For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed." Jesus was a sacrifice. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, "But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." We need to see a human sacrifice. But then finally, we have got to see love. We have got to see love. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God shows his love for us all, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so I want to ask you this question this morning. And I may have asked it before, but I want to ask it again. Think about it. What kind of nails holds the Son of God to a cross? What kind of nails holds the Son of God to a cross? Are they the big spikes, big iron nails? You picture them pounding in to his flesh, into that wood? Is that what you picture? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that there are no nails. There are no nails. There are no spikes that can hold our Savior to the cross. But there is one thing that can, and that's love. That is the love that he had for you and the love that he had for me, that I might not have to face the sentence of death because of my sin, but that he could pay it for us. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. Jesus could have called, as we sing, 10,000 angels to save himself. And you know what? He didn't even have to do that. He could have come down from the cross on his own because he's the Son of God. And he could have wiped out everybody. But what kept him up there, what kept him through that pain, what kept him through that suffering, was the love for you and the love for me. So as we partake of this Lord's Supper this morning, let's think about these things. Let our hearts focus on the sacrifice of Jesus and all that entails.